A few weeks ago, there was an article in the Boston Globe. It was about the work of Boston Healthcare for the Homeless Program. The article featured a physician whose name is Jessie Gaeta, and it spoke about how she and the program are responding to the opioid epidemic here in Boston. According to statistics from the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, there were 2,000 opioid-related overdose deaths last year in Massachusetts. Overdose by opioid is the leading cause of death among young people between the ages of 18 and 35 years old. Boston Healthcare for the Homeless program is on the front line of this crisis. The magnitude of this crisis is huge, and the solutions are complex. It would be easy to become overwhelmed and to want to turn away. So I was struck by what Boston Healthcare for the Homeless program did instead. They did not turn away. Instead, they turned towards the crisis, and in doing so, came up with a life-saving move. What they did is that in all of the bathrooms, they installed reverse motion detectors. The way these detectors work is that if an occupant of the bathroom fails to move for 2 minutes and 50 seconds, then an alarm goes off. Most always, reads the article, this means that a person has been knocked unconscious by injected drug use and is likely to die if nothing is done. But with these reverse motion detectors sounding the alarm, people are not dying. They are waking up. And with continued care at Boston Healthcare for the Homeless program, they are finding a way to new life. In today's gospel passage, we read about another physician that was on the front line of another crisis. Today we read about one who dedicated his life to saving the lives of others. While Jesus did not have the use of reverse motion detectors or Narcan, he did have what we see in the scripture for today. He did have the parable and the witness that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But before we go any further, let us pray. Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For the past 3 weeks here on Sunday morning, we have been hearing from Jesus as he taught the disciples in the great discourse called the Sermon on the Mount. For these past many weeks, we have heard Jesus speak very clearly and directly to the disciples about God's blessing for them and about how they are to live and how they are to pray. And after the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus comes down and he begins this amazing chapters of healing people. He touches a leper, he heals the servant of a Roman centurion commander, and then a woman. He heals two people who are possessed by demons, one who is blind, a girl, a woman who has been bleeding for years. Jesus comes down off the Sermon on the Mount and goes directly to the people who others have turned away from. He makes a move towards them to bring them into new life. And that takes us to the scripture then for this morning. Great crowds have gathered on the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee, so much so that Jesus has to get into a boat and push off a little bit so that he can begin to teach them. And when he does, he chooses to teach them through parables. Now, I find this rather odd because just when Jesus is drawing his biggest crowds yet, just when this movement of his is really starting to build steam, he decides to speak to them in parables. Why wouldn't he have saved his most compelling and clearest oratory for when the most people have gathered? Instead, he chooses the parable, which is a riddle, really, that at first seems pretty straightforward, but the more that you think about the pairing of the images in them, the more bewildering the comparisons can become. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to somebody who sows good seed in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. If we were to imagine the kingdom of heaven, chances are it has nothing to do with any of these images, right? If we were to imagine what the kingdom of heaven looks like, I bet many of us would maybe start to see pearly gates and St. Peter there with his list. And as for those in Jesus' day, well, I bet that the kingdom of heaven looked more like the overthrow of the Roman Empire and the restoration of the Davidic rule more than it did like a field or a seed or some yeast. So why Jesus? Why the parable at this key point in your ministry? I have come to understand that Jesus must have decided to use this parable because when he looked out on that great crowd, I think he saw that he was facing a crisis. I think he could see that people had fallen asleep. People had fallen asleep to their own worth and beauty. People had fallen asleep to the miracle of what it was to be alive. People had fallen asleep to the potential within each and every one of them. In their lives, the miraculous seed that God has planted within each of them, they had fallen asleep. Now, if I were in his sandals, I can imagine that it would have been pretty overwhelming. I can imagine looking at this great crowd and seeing the depth of their slumber. I can imagine that I may have wanted to turn away from it all. But that's not what Jesus does. He moves towards them. He moves towards their need. He engages and he begins to wake them up. He uses the parable because the parable works on both the mind and the heart. Parables crack open assumptions, pique curiosity, and spark imagination. Parables draw the listener in to engage and to question. And that is what turns a crowd into a congregation. Doing good and hard work of cracking open assumptions and piquing curiosity and drawing people in to engage and to question, that is what turns an onlooker into a disciple. For in that moment, I think Jesus saw in the crowd exactly what he sees in the parables that he chooses. As he looked at that gathered crowd, I think he also saw what the kingdom of heaven looks like. I believe that when he looked at them standing there on the shoreline, he saw wheat and weeds, saint and sinner, in each and every one, and loved them all the more. I believe how he saw how the seed of love that God had planted in them could become a fruitful, abundant, exaggerating, exuberant mustard plant that is the greatest of all shrubs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air can come and make nest in its branches. I bet when he looked at them, he saw that even now there was yeast being worked into their lives. I think he could see holy leavening happening. Now, I was not part of the conversation that led to putting those reverse motion detectors in the bathrooms of Boston Healthcare for the Homeless Program. But after having worked there for many, many years before becoming your pastor, I can very well imagine what they were like. For I remember Dr. Gaeta saying at one meeting that I was at with her that healing does not begin with prescription pads or treatment plans. Healing begins, she said, with trust. I can hear her saying it right now. She said, I can write dozens of prescriptions and delineate treatment plan after treatment plan, but if I do not first cultivate a relationship of trust, then none of the rest that I do really matters. So building trust, it was what Boston Healthcare for the Homeless Program does. It accepts people where they are without judgment. It holds up a vision of what is possible and what healing could look like. It pledges to walk alongside and it refuses to give up. And when one passes out in the bathroom, it sounds an alarm so that one may be brought back to life. The reverse motion detectors and Narcan work to save lives because those that need their lives saved trust Boston Healthcare for the Homeless Program enough to come into that house of healing in the first place. Now, we do not have reverse motion detectors in our bathrooms, at least not yet. but I would love to see the day when we too need them. I would love to see the day when we become a house of healing so trustworthy that those in need of healing and saving will trust us enough to come in. For we too seek to be a place of acceptance without judgment, a place that holds up a vision for what is possible and what healing can look like, a place to walk with each other and to refuse to give up. I believe that we are entering a new chapter in what it means to be the Union Church here in Waubun. Now, that does not mean that we are leaving behind where we have come from or the traditions that have shaped us, not at all. I think it means that we are being invited to extend who we are and the traditions that have shaped us with greater welcome and invitation to the world. For example, it strikes me that while overdose by opioid is the leading cause of death among young people between the ages of 18 and 35, it is precisely this same demographic that, for the most part, is missing when we gather here Sunday after Sunday. What could that say to a move that we may be ready to make? Like the crowd that gathered on the beach that day, we too have a lot of waking up to do. We all do. We have much to grapple with and to learn. But let me assure you that while I am no Jesus, not in the least, it is very clear to me that the kingdom of heaven is at hand in this place as well. From this vantage point where I stand, I can see a lot of wheat growing, even in the midst of the weeds. I can see in this last week even so many multiple examples of people drawing alongside each other and loving and giving and serving each other so profoundly. There have been many examples of this. And I have seen how that little seed of faith that our founders, our ancestors of faith, planted here in this little plot of soil over 100 years ago, I have seen how it is growing before our eyes and even now is giving home so that the birds of the air may come and make a nest in our branches. And as for that yeast, well, I, for one, am seeing how God has been at work mixing her yeast into the measures of our Sunday school and youth programs, and oh my goodness, what leavening is happening there. And so, let us pray. God, wake us up to what you see in us and help us to see what you see in others. Help us to become a house of healing for all people, so that the goodness that you have seeded in all of us and in creation may become your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. May it be so. Amen.